morning, good morning, and
Love
welcome
Talk
to
Radio.
Good morning, good morning, and welcome to the Iris Standing Show. I'm Iris Standing, your host, and I'm broadcasting here from beautiful Albuquerque, New Mexico, and I'm so glad you're here with us in order to listen. It's a beautiful day here. It's in the low 30s right now, but we'll get up to 66 degrees. As you know, if you've listened to my shows before, I always ask my listeners to write a few key points and aha moments down, because I will invite you to do that, because if you try and do the things that you learn, you're much more likely to remember them. So welcome into the show. And again, I want to remind you that you can replay this show at any time if you'd like a refresher, and I want to encourage you to place us on our favorites, on your favorites list, so that you don't miss a thing. Let me tell you a little bit about our guest, and I'm hoping that he is with us because I'm not seeing him calling in. But I will continue on. Our guest today is Swami G, and he is an author, teacher, and speaker, and we'll be discussing his book, The Stress-Free College Student. He has dedicated his life to bringing meditation, yoga, and other alternative therapies to people around the globe. He's been a guest expert talking about his experiences at Johns Hopkins, Penn State, and several medical colleges abroad. So I'm delighted to welcome Swami G. And let me see if we can go ahead and get him off hold. Here we go. And Swami G, are you there?
Good morning, Iris.
Good morning, good morning. How are you this morning?
I am wonderful, thank you. Yourself?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. I'm glad you're joining us. I'm going to do a quick arrangement, just if you'll wait a second. I just introduced you and let our listeners know a little bit about you. And so,
right.
Swamiji, I'm wondering if we can start with what occurred in your college freshman year and how that was a major turning point that led you to explore areas of stress management. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about that tough situation?
Sure, Iris, absolutely. My biggest stress in life actually happened to me while I was a college freshman, and maybe that's why I'm involved with the colleges today. But when I was a freshman, my parents were in a car accident, and they didn't survive. They died in the
mm-hmm.
crash.
Wow.
And, of course, that's turned my world upside down. And for the next few years, nothing really, I could never bounce back. You know how you come back from, if you've been to college or you go away for a summer vacation, you come back and you sort of get back into the routine?
Yeah.
I could never get back into the routine. And one year on campus, there was a sign on one of the buildings said, lecture on meditation. And back in 74, I believe, 73, it's not like today where yoga and meditation are everywhere. Back then, nobody really knew about it. Maybe we heard the Beatles went to India to meditate.
Mm-hmm.
That was it. You know, that was the whole story. And I had nothing to lose and everything to gain. So I tried this new thing. And it was the first time I found some inner peace. And it was like, no matter what was happening in the world, there was something inside of me that was protected. It was a little bit. It wasn't a lot, but it was better than it was. Some sense of peace.
Yeah. So it gave you some relief and some peace and some sort of balance in your life that was really missing for a while.
Yeah, if I ever, it helped in ways that I never had peace before on top of that. And it was so amazing that when I graduated college, I said, you know, I can't think of anything else I'd rather do, because when I went to college, it was for radio, television, and film, which I really loved.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
But when my parents died, my heart went right out of it, and nothing really interested me anymore. So the good side, if you will, of the tragedy was I really found a calling in life, something that I felt, wow, if I could help other people like this would be a great life. And so that's really what I did from that point on.
Wonderful, wonderful. And it's interesting because in some ways it's coming full circle, because you are on the radio now and you are speaking and writing books and all of those things. So and sharing that experience. So that I think that will be very helpful to many of our listeners hearing about that. Can you tell us a little bit in your experience what college students say are the most stressful areas of college life?
Sure, absolutely, Iris. There's been a number of research studies in the recent years, and the number one and two, they're almost tied for first place, is the workload and the finances.
Mm.
And I did a little research study myself at the local university. I set up a table and a big sign and said, answer these questions. And the students who answered them, there was more students said it was the workload. And the funny thing was that more students who didn't answer, who didn't take the time to answer, they said, oh, I'm in a rush, I have to get to class. So the number of people that the workload and the work time, the time frame was even more than was reported in the research study. So workload and paying for college, those are the two biggest stressors that I found.
Yes, and I agree with you. I remember the wake-up call that I got. I went to a large university here, University of New Mexico, and then a smaller university up in northern Colorado. But at UNM, sitting in a theater, literally of 800 students, and getting that syllabus of everything you're supposed to read during the semester, and trying to figure out how on earth am I going to budget my time to read all these books and write all these papers and prepare for all these tests. That was all up to me all of a sudden, rather than, you know, a high school teacher sort of parceling it out. So I can understand that the workload is very stressful. You know, I'm thinking I want to go back just a little bit to a little bit more of your background, because you did end up studying a great deal in terms of meditation and those kinds of things. And if I'm not mistaken, you also became a monk as well.
Yes, that happened on and off. I was kind of like a monk in training. Then I came back to the world for a while to see if that... I always am working between the two worlds, the inner world and the outer world, it seems. And then in the late 80s, 88, 89, 90, I was visiting my spiritual teacher in India, my guru, in the Himalayas.
Mm-hmm.
And he recognized me as a Swami, which is a word for a monk. And that was just, you know, in our culture, when we were kids and our parents said, what do you want to be when you grow up? Monk was not in the lexicon.
No.
But when that happened, it was like, that sounds just right.
And what an honorable profession, seeking, and title. So I wanted our listeners to know that as well. You mentioned that finances are also stressful, that the workload is stressful, and finances. And you talk a lot in your book about what thinking has to do with finances. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about how our thoughts affect our finances and give them some direction on working with their thinking as regarding their finances?
Sure thing, Iris. This is perhaps the most interesting part of what I share with students these days, is our thoughts determine our life. And it's going to sound maybe crazy when if you're hearing this for the first time, but what we think is what happens to us. So if we think things can't be right, things won't work out for us, you know what? They won't work out. And if you think they can work out, they usually do work out. So, for example, using the concept of finances, if you're stressed out, I'm not going to make enough money, I'm not going to pay for college, all that energy and all that focus, if we just said, you know what? What can I do? How can I pay for college? How can I make this okay? Then we at least leave a space for an answer to come in. But if we shut it down and we just say no, then we won. We're right. You won. You know, look at that. I was right. See, I couldn't earn the money. So it's a matter of how we think, and it's an exercise of our brain, of our thought muscle. to say, how can I do something?
Yes, yes. And I like what you said about it opening up the possibilities for you. The other thing that I used to tell students when I worked as a counselor in schools is that you don't have to believe or hold onto every thought that drops into your head.
Right.
That, you know, if you think you're stupid or if you think you're ugly or you can't do it, you can challenge that thought and turn it around to, I am capable, and I can do this, and I am beautiful, that you can control your thoughts much more than you believe. And it takes some practice to get into that.
You know, this is, Iris, what you touch on a key point that all these ancient wisdom groups, from India, from China, the key is our thoughts. And they're basically, I'll make it really simple. Of all the thoughts, and as you just pointed out, we have thousands of thoughts every day. But we can distill them into two categories, helpful and unhelpful. Things that open up our possibilities and those that limit us. And all we have to do is put one little thought spam filter in our brain, and that is this a positive thought or is this a spam thought? No, and if it's a positive thought, work with it. And if it's anything, if it's a self-esteem issue, I'm no good, or I'll never amount to anything, or my friends will think I'm XYZ, those are all spam thoughts, and just send them right to the spam filter and never even look at them as best as possible. And as you said, it takes some work, but it's a muscle that needs exercise. And believe me, it opens up your life. You get some fresh air. Your heart opens. The sun shines a little better.
I love that, Swamiji. I appreciate you clarifying that and putting it so succinctly. That just really opens it up for me, and I think for our listeners as well. So, Swamiji, as a student, college students, they are surrounded by people who, from different walks of life, from different paths of life, different kinds of experiences, much more so than probably their local high school. So can you talk with our listeners a little bit about some healthy choices regarding building friendships in college?
Sure. Iris, this is really interesting because when people who go to high school, even if they've got it down, now they go away to college. So what happens? The first thing is their support network is really gone. Aside from Instagramming or Facebooking your friend or seeing your family on holidays, for the first time you're alone and on your own, and the responsibilities and the workload and the making new friends. And one fellow, I give a talk on this program called College Week Live, and one of the students asked me, you know, when I was in high school, I didn't have a lot of friends, and now I'm in college, and I'm about to go to college, and what can I do to change that? And I said, nobody knows you in college. Reinvent yourself. Be the person you want to be. Picture your best self. And he loved that. He emailed me and thanked me for that answer. So one of the things is, from your thoughts, self-esteem. Picture yourself. Who am I? Who would I love to be? And if you need a mentor, somebody you're proud of in the world that's done work that inspires you, then act like that until you get it. There's actually scientific research that shows if we just fake it, if we pretend we're confident, if we pretend we're happy, it tells our subconscious to be happy and confident, and we become that way. The research is there. If we stand like Superman or Superwoman in that very confident, powerful position, we become that. This is research. This has been documented. So fake it till you make it is a really scientifically documented truth. Now, along with that, the other really good thing is to take care of your health. And all I mean simply is eat some fresh fruits and vegetables. You can cook a meal in 10 minutes, and you can even save it for a few days. Grains and beans, whole grains, whole beans, fresh fruits and vegetables, dairy products. if you're gluten-free. A lot of times, just as a really quick aside, a lot of people who have troubles concentrating, it's the gluten in the wheat and in some of the foods. So if you're having particularly big problems, ADHD people also note that the gluten, once they remove that, it helps a lot of them. But eating healthy is really just one more tip that'll make it's a great foundation for life.
Yes, yes, thank you for that. Thank you for that. And I do like, Swamiji, what you said about the research about you can pretend until you actually feel that and believe that, and it does change your brain chemistry and your physiology. So excellent, excellent. Could you tell our listeners a little bit, in your book you mention a college professor's experience with Reiki, and I'm trained in level one Reiki and have my own experiences, but could you tell our listeners a little bit about what Reiki is and a little bit about what it helped that professor with in terms of his experience?
Sure. This is, again, another area that may sound crazy to people if they've never heard it before, that the concept of energy healing. It's called energy healing. Mm-hmm. Now,
yes.
in the Newtonian science, we were believed to be physicality of bodies, matter. But in the physics, quantum physics, sciences come to realize we're not matter, we're energy. So I'm not really saying anything that's crazy here, because science is already ahead of the curve now, saying we are human energies. And the reason it's harder to heal something if we address the physical is because it's not our essence. It's like sending mail by snail mail. It takes a lot longer to get to you than it does by email. So if we work on the physical body, it takes a lot longer to heal it than if we work from the energetic level. And that's what Reiki is. Reiki is one of the forms of energy healing. It's called hands-on healing or hands-off healing. You don't actually even have to touch the body. But the story, Iris, that you're talking about is the dean of one of the medical colleges, and he had smashed his toe very badly in the door as it closed on him, and it was in great pain. And somebody came to interview for a job, and when he saw him limping, the dean limping, he put his hands around his foot in a Reiki energy healing. He didn't touch the foot, just cupped his hands around the toe. And the dean said he noticed all this heat emanating in his foot suddenly. And after some time, he woke up the next day. Not only was the pain gone, the swelling was gone, the discoloration was gone. He said, this is medically impossible by everything from the Newtonian medicine point of view.
Uh-huh.
And you could do that with a sore shoulder, if you're playing sports, if you have a stiff neck from studying. If you're nervous, you can just put your hands on your forehead and calm yourself down. So there's different types of energy hands-on healing, such as Reiki.
Mm-hmm. Excellent, excellent. And I think, too, my experience with Reiki, both receiving Reiki and giving Reiki treatments, is it is also helpful on the emotional level as well, that it can help with anxiety and depression and such. So it can be a very powerful tool, I think, for students in terms of stress management. So I want to just remind our listeners that you're enjoying the Iris Fanning Show, and I'm Iris Fanning, your host. I appreciate you listening in, and you can find more information about this show and my telecourses. Also, I do life coaching for work-life balance, stress management, team building, leadership, those kinds of things, and you can learn all about that if you just visit www.irisfanning.com. That's irisfanning.com. And Swamiji, I'm sure our listeners will want to know more about your work and your book and those kinds of things. Where can they get in touch with you?
Sure. My website is called The Hip Guru, THEHIPGURU, The Hip Guru. And there you'll see all of my books and my online webinars. If you want me to come to speak at your college or your high school, or even entrepreneurs, I work with them also because they have loads of stress.
Mm-hmm.
And you can connect with me that way. I have a blog. I do Instagram and Twitter and Facebook, so you can connect with me in all those different ways. And I'm always putting inspiring little quotes and beautiful pictures up every couple of times each day.
Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you. Well, continuing on, I'm wondering if, and we haven't talked about this, but we'll see if it's appropriate, if Swamiji, if you can give our listeners a little brief experience in decreasing stress, either like through breath, using their breath, or through a tapping exercise,
mm-hmm.
or something of that nature.
Sure.
Would that be possible?
Sure.
Okay.
Absolutely. I'll give a little, just again, going back to science. Science knows that if our breathing is irregular, it is causing multiple types of health conditions. So
mm-hmm.
something as simple as breathing, if we're breathing, you know, if we get anxious, well, the first thing we do, what do? We stop breathing. If we're afraid,
mm-hmm.
we gasp. And
yes.
that's the time we really, really need to breathe. And all, I mean, you can just do this yourself, practice when you lay down in bed at night. Just watch your breathing. If you're stressed and you can't study, take a 10-minute break, a 5-minute break, and sit there, close your eyes, and watch your breathing. It's
mm-hmm.
the simplest thing, and it's one of the most profound ways to get yourself back to feeling you're centered again, focused again. And the next level from the breath is the actual energy work. And we have certain energy points on our head, on our face, on our neck. And because, as I said before, we're energy systems. We're not physical systems. Our body has energy highways, just like the roads, the highways, that our cars drive on. And just like
mm-hmm.
when a car breaks down and the traffic stops to look at it and the road gets congested, if we get some trauma, some stress, one of those points on our face or on our back, on our head, our neck, there's like an energy accident there, and all the energy
mm.
stops flowing. And just as our breathing has to flow, our energy has to flow. And in this
mm-hmm.
case, all we have to do is tap on some of these energy points, and we can even say some positive things about ourselves. Then that releases the stress. And I do this with the students live in 60 seconds. I have them choose, say, what's your stress? It could be physical, it could be emotional. And so, for example, one fellow says, oh, I have to go see my girlfriend. I'm so stressed out, I won't be in a good mood. And somebody else said, oh, I have a neck pain. And I asked them to rate it from 1 to 10, 10 being unbearable. And in 60
mm-hmm.
seconds of going through this tapping exercise, the stress has dropped down to it from an 8 to a 2 to a 0, something like that. And the students experience, holy cow, I can really get rid of this stress. I don't have to live with it. I've just realized that was all a myth. It's very rewarding. And today I was watching a video. There's a group that does tapping. And we're talking right now about college stress, which is
mm-hmm.
very big. You know, 80% mm-hmm. of the students have anxiety and depression, 50% drop out. But now this other people are taking tapping to Rwanda to help the students get over their PTSD from the genocide
yeah.
they went through.
Wow.
And it's helping. The doctors there are saying this is the first thing that's helping them. They took tapping to the school shooting after the school
yeah.
shootings and helped the student. Was one fellow, he wouldn't go back to school, and after one session of tapping. So the point is that it works on the most profound stresses, and college stress is pretty stressful, but it's really, there's always something worse if we look around.
Yes,
and,
I know they, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, that's it, yeah.
And as you're talking, I'm thinking of two additional things. One, I know they're doing a lot of research with the tapping with veterans coming back with PTSD as
yes.
well. And then the other thing I was thinking with breathing, I've been fortunate to be a singer all my life, and so we learned that deep breathing, diaphragmatic breathing, where when you breathe in, your stomach needs to start going out so that you're getting to the bottom of the lungs. And then when you breathe out, then the stomach goes back in. And I didn't know that everybody didn't know how to do that, because I was trained since middle school to do that so that you have enough breath to really project the sound. But it also that's another way just to really breathe so deeply that your stomach rises as you breathe in, and then as you breathe out, that it goes down. So I wanted to talk, and you touched on it a little bit. You know, when I was a family counselor, as I said, counseling provider for a large school district, I was, over the years, I've seen an increasing number of students with mental health concerns, particularly anxiety, social anxiety, depression, and alcohol and substance abuse. And I was wondering if you've seen a similar trend, and how can our listeners help to become more balanced in those things?
Well, that's a very serious topic, and let me just say at the onset, I'll give some educational advice here, but I'm not treating or prescribing anything. You definitely want to work with your campus counselors, therapists, psychologists, your family, talk with your family. One of the biggest things is that happens when students go away and there is no social net. They don't tell their parents what the stresses are. They don't say they need help. And I really encourage you to reach out.
Uh-huh.
Now, I know locally there are nurses on campus. There are wellness centers that actually the people are all, they are Reiki practitioners. They'll get it.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And if you can find yourself a Reiki practitioner who's also a psychologist or a therapist, a counselor at your school, then you've got a double bonus, and that would be the best. Uh-huh. Or if you have a Reiki professional, and then talk with your counselor about it, and that'll just make some things over very quickly for you. These can go away. These do go away. As I said, uh-huh. these students from who witnessed their genocide, so, as you said, the soldiers who come back witness the killing.
Uh-huh.
And one fellow, I was just watching this video today, says he used to be a helicopter pilot. He couldn't get in the helicopter after a while. After one session uh-huh. of tapping, he was able to, he's not in the war anymore, but he'll go for helicopter rides now.
Wow.
So it's very profound. And uh-huh. we want to stay connected with our therapists, counselors.
Uh-huh. I appreciate you saying that, Swamiji. It's a very important thing to reach out when you're feeling that way. And I also love what you said. It's important to feel hopeful that you won't feel this way forever. There are techniques and ways to have that go away. Boy, we have such a short time left. And I wanted to, I love the fact that you talk about spirituality. I hate to say in 1 minute, is there a way? I have to laugh. How can people connect with their spirituality?
Sure, I have a box of instant spirituality here. Just add water.
Oh, I know. We need another half hour for this one. I'm almost embarrassed to ask.
Sure. Well, just in the broadest strokes, first off, it's how you define spirituality that matters. Whatever brings you peace, whatever brings you joy, whatever brings you happiness, if you love to paint, if you love nature, if you love sports, if you love to help people, if you love numbers, whatever it is you love to do grows whatever we put our attention on. That's really where we started. So if we give some time to our life for things we love, love will grow, peace will grow, joy will grow. And that's really the instant version of spirituality. It could be your religion as well, but it's all on your definition. Whatever makes you, fills your heart and mind and soul.
Thank you. And again, I would love to, perhaps another time, we could spend a half an hour on spirituality. Dear listeners, you're simply the best. And I think of you each time that I create these shows and invite our guests. And I hope you get excited and enjoy your life. You can reach me at irisfanning.com. And Swamiji, thank you so much. You can reach him at
thehipguruguide.com.
Thank you, Swamiji.
Thank you, Iris.
Bye-bye.